Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, we really need to move on to verse 6 in Malachi chapter 5, and yet before we do that, I still think there are a few more applications that we need to make. And that's what I've actually been doing in the last couple of broadcasts, is drawing applications from this searching text in Malachi chapter 3. In case you haven't been with us for the previous series, let me simply say that Malachi 3 opens by a declaration that God is going to send two messengers to Israel. He's making this declaration, of course, to the prophet Malachi, who is prophesying some 400 years before the coming of Christ. And he said, I'm going to send two messengers. The first one is going to prepare the way for the second one. And that clearly is a reference to John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. And so the first messenger comes to prepare for the second one. The second one comes. And this second one is one that Israel has been looking forward to with fondness, with delight. But when he comes, they're not going to be so delighted. When he comes, very few are going to be able to stand in the day of his coming. When he comes, he's going to come with judgment. When he comes, he's going to come with refiner's fire. When he comes, he's going to purify the people of God. They must be purified before they are in any position to honor the Messiah who has been promised. And in the course of this, when we get down to verse 5, you may remember, those who've been listening regularly, that we get to a list of five sins that are specifically going to come under the judgment of God. He is going to judge sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, exploiters, and oppressors. And we will not go through that again, but we do need to find out if that has modern-day counterparts or applications. And that's what we're going to talk about on this Wednesday, January 8 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. I'm glad you've been able to join us today, and many thanks to those who help us financially and make it possible for us to continue teaching on this station. Verse 5, and I will come near you for judgment, and I will be swift witness against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, exploiters, oppressors. Is there anything here for the people of God today in America in the 21st century? We don't have sorcerers, surely, in our churches. I hope not. I did see another one of those palm reader signs out in front of a house the other day when I was going down a street in Burlington. I wish I could remember now what street it was. I hadn't noticed it before, but there it is. It's probably been there all along, and I just haven't paid attention to it, but there it was. We have these things, even in our community today, but not usually in our churches. They're usually outside the church. They're usually understood to be something that's outside the realm of Christianity, although there's no question in my mind that there are people who consider themselves Christians and who do attend church on Sunday, and yet we'll consult with the palm reader on whatever other day of the week they may do that. So it's not that there are no sorcerers, that is, fortune tellers, palm readers, people who claim to be able to foretell the future among us today. They are there today. But let's think in terms of in the church. How do we get involved in these kinds of practices that God says he's going to severely judge? Well, how about horoscopes or Ouija boards or seances? I hope none of you are involved in any of those, but dear friend, this is a warning, stay away from those. These are not just harmless forms of entertainment. They are reaching out to the occult side of the unseen world. There is an unseen world. The things of God. God is unseen. He is invisible. Though Jesus Christ wrapped himself in human flesh and manifested God in the flesh. But of course, he's not with us now. He's in heaven, so we don't see him either. We are surrounded by holy angels. We are going to be surprised when we get to heaven and learn how much of our safety and well-being we owe to the ministry of the holy angels that surround us, but we never see them. That's the unseen world. But they're not only holy angels, but that are also fallen angels. We are surrounded not only by protecting angels and angels that are there to minister to the people of God, but we are surrounded by hostile, evil spirits who are there to do us harm under the command of Satan. We want to stay as far away from that as we possibly can. And when you start dabbling in things that touch on the occult, that touch on the supernatural in a way that is not a biblical approach to the supernatural, then you are placing yourself under the influence of demonic forces, and you are very likely to get badly burned. But whether you know of any damage that comes to you or not, you're dishonoring the Lord. And that's the sort of thing that he says, I'm going to come and judge against sorcerers, against those who get involved in these sort of things. Don't do that. And he said he's going to come against adulterers, and that's just another warning about the abomination of sexual immorality of any kind, any sort. There's so many different ways. And Christians are to remove themselves from that. Christians are to extract themselves from those practices, whether we're talking about adultery or other forms of sexual immorality, the broader term fornication, whether we're talking about homosexuality, whatever it may be. But to fail to uphold God's standards in morality, marriage is honorable and all, and the marriage bed undefiled, but adulterers and fornicators God will judge. That's a New Testament text. Here in the Old Testament, he says that he will come to judge adulterers. He says the same thing in the New Testament. Don't get the idea that the judging God belongs to the Old Testament, and since now that we're in New Covenant days, New Testament days, that we don't have to be concerned about that. You haven't read your New Testament very carefully. That much is clear. God still judges adultery and fornication and other forms of immorality. God still judges that. Do I need to quote the text again that I quoted a moment ago from the book of Hebrews? Marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed undefiled. Within marriage, sexual activity is God-honoring. God designed it. Sex is not something the devil came up with. Sex is something that God designed. This is part of God's design for the human family. It's beautiful. It's wonderful within the marriage relationship. That's where God intends it to be exercised. That's where God has made it to be a blessing. That's where God has designed it to more closely cement together husband and wife so that the two become one. The one flesh relationship, which refers to the sexual relationship, is one of the avenues that God uses to bind together husband and wife in marriage. Obviously, that's a physical binding together. There needs to be an emotional binding together, a spiritual binding together. And there are different activities that will contribute to all of these things. But sex within marriage is a very important part of this. And, of course, that's the way that children are brought into the world. And this book of Malachi tells us that God desires a godly seed. That's why he has designed marriage, and that's why he's opposed to divorce, because he desires a godly seed. So God still judges immorality. So if you're involved in it, you are just inviting the judgment of God. You are, as it were, fanning your nose at God, thumbing your nose at God and saying, I dare you to do anything to me. You've deceived yourself. You have fooled yourself into thinking that because what you're doing is now considered acceptable in society, yes, unfortunately, in many cases, is even considered reasonably acceptable within churches, so not that any church probably would say that they would recommend it, or this is something that you ought to do, or this is something that's pleasing to God, but it's not such a big deal. Everybody does it. And so don't worry about it. That, my friends, that attitude is one that is encouraged by false prophets, not true prophets, false teachers, not true teachers, unfaithful shepherds, not faithful shepherds, hirelings, not those who are serving God. And failure to uphold God's standard for sexual morality has opened the floodgates of depravity in our society, and with it all kinds of other things. People are puzzled. Why do we have so much violence? I guess if we would take guns away from people, then we could stop this violence. Don't you realize, and I don't want to get into a political debate here, but don't you realize that the gun is not what caused the violence? It is the heart of the violent people who found a weapon to use to commit violence. But if that gun were not available, something else would be. It's the murderous heart. Where does this come from? Well, when you start opening the floodgates in one area, you start opening the floodgates in other areas. When you start condoning, ignoring, and excusing violations of one commandment, you pretty soon are going to encourage violations of other commandments. Yeah, adultery and fornication is bad because it violates God's standard of morality. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.